Where did the saying come from, life's too short? That's what I'd like to know. That's the question that I, Martin Zender, am asking you this morning. Life's too short. You've heard it 100 times. Well, life's too short not to, you know, smell the coffee. Life's too short not to eat that dessert there, fella. Life's too short not to take your shoes off and walk barefoot in the tall, cool grass. Life's too No. Life is too long not to do those things. Life's too long. I've never accused life of being too short. Only Woody Allen has done that, and he's done it facetiously during the opening monologue of Annie Hall. You ever seen that? Woody Allen, the opening monologue of Annie Hall. Watch it. Annie, you can get it on the internet. Go to YouTube and go to Annie Hall opening monologue or whatever. Woody Allen, he makes this joke. He says, life is full of death and misery and destruction and all these terrible things, and it's over far too quickly. He's being so facetious. It's over far too quickly. Right. Yeah, like, it's way too protracted. Life's too long not to eat ice cream, take your shoes off, walk through the grass, smell the roses, smell the coffee. So it's just like that John Mellencamp song, you know?
Oh, yeah, life goes on. Long after the thrill of living is gone.
Sick.
Oh, yeah, life goes on. Long after the thrill of living is gone.
Walk on.
Walk on.
Yeah, walk on.
Yeah, that's my sentiment exactly. Life goes on and on and on long after the thrill of living is gone. Hey, I told you like 2 weeks ago, I think, that I pray for my enemies, and I do. Every night when I lay down my weary head upon my bed, I pray for my enemies, and you should pray for your enemies. Your enemies need prayer. My enemies need prayer. A lot of them need therapy. They really do. So, I mean, my enemies need help. I don't usually recommend, you know, professional counseling and psychotherapy, but some of my, anyway, I'm sure your enemies are the same way. They need help, so pray for them. Pray for them. I want to talk about this Luke 17 here. We're going to talk about the kingdom not coming with scrutiny, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of heaven is within you. I want to reiterate, or I should say, I want to clarify some things I said to you. But first, I got to talk about finishing this race. Oh boy, I used to run marathons. I've run 5 marathons. And the thing with a marathon is, you know, everybody has an easy time of it the first few miles of a marathon. So you're chugging away. It's the last miles of the marathon that build character. In fact, I ran the Marine Corps Marathon. I wasn't in the Marine Corps, but I ran the Marine Corps Marathon in Washington, D.C. 4 years, and I'll never remember the first time I ran that race. I think it was in 1978, fall of November. There were Marines posted like at the 21-mile mark, and they shouted out to everybody, the last 5 miles build character, and they're right, the last 5 miles build character. That's where the race starts. I've told people over and over, the marathon starts at 21 miles. If you're in shape, the first 21 miles are warm up. The race starts at 21 miles. That's when the body naturally wants to shut down. That's when you push the body beyond the reasonable limits. The body is meant to run short distances at a fast pace, like running away from a saber-toothed tiger. The body is meant to run long distances at a slow pace, you know, like going from Jericho to Bethlehem. What the body is not meant to do is run long distances at a fast pace, but that's what the marathon is, and it becomes very unnatural at 21 miles. That's when you're doing something weird that you shouldn't be doing, the body doesn't like. That's what builds character. That's when you have to tell yourself, there's a reason I started this thing, and I'm going to finish it. Well, transfer that to this calling. Folks, you got to run through the tape. I think it's a very bad thing to quit. I don't know what happens if we quit. I don't know what happens if we throw in the towel. God knows I have been tempted to do so. In the last 20 years, I've been seriously tempted 3 times. In fact, 1 time, I actually did quit this job. I thought I had a job at Applebee's. Oh my gosh, I could tell you this. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to get a job at Applebee's. This is too crazy. It's harrowing. It's heartbreaking. It's discouraging. This job, this ministry full time, and I was undergoing personal trials in my life. This was 2009. I wanted desperately to quit and get a job at Applebee's. So I went to Applebee's, and I thought, man, I'm going to make the greatest server this restaurant ever had. I went in there. I applied. I charmed him to death. I got a second interview. I went into the second interview, and I told the guy, I said, you put those black pants and that black shirt and that black apron on me, I'll start seating people in 10 minutes. And I was so excited because I thought maybe I'll get a hot meal, you know, and I was just going to work 24 hours there and sleep on a booth at night. I was wanting that job bad. I was desperate. Came in for a second interview. I thought, man, I'm in. And then I never heard from him. And I went back there 3 days and I said, have you guys chosen your new serving people? I want to be among that number. Oh, I long to be in that number when the servers come marching and the servers at Applebee's. I wanted to be one of those people. They said, no, I'm sorry, you've been rejected. I could not make the grade at Applebee's. Now, that was on a Friday. The next day, Dan Sheridan called me, and he said, you're not going to believe this. I asked the radio station where I'm doing these shows in 5 different cities, Indianapolis, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Pennsylvania, Birmingham, Alabama. We were broadcast. He, at that time, was broadcasting in 5 different cities, and he said, Zender, I asked this guy if we could do this show together at the Indianapolis studio, and he said that they would set up the radio studio in Indianapolis for us to do the show. And that was the next day after I got rejected at Applebee's. So Applebee's rejected me. God accepted me for one of the most epic runs of radio in this eon, the Martin Zender Dan Sheridan Show out of Indianapolis, which is archived on my website. Folks, if I had gotten that job at Applebee's, I would have told Sheridan, dude, sorry, I can't do it. I got this awesome job at Applebee's. God totally sidelined that. He roadblocked it. And I'm telling you, thank God, thank God. I was ready to quit the marathon because it was so protracted. Life went on. The ministry went on long after the thrill was gone. You folks think it's a thrill for me. Well, some days it is, but most days it's not. It's a trudge. It's the last 6 miles of a marathon. And I think this is pretty literal, that we are in the last stretch of this eon. And I thank God he delivered me from waiting tables at Applebee's or seating people at Applebee's, because boy, did I ever want to do that. It sounded such a relief from what I do, so much easier than what I do. I never quit this job. You can never quit it. Unless you've done it, you just don't understand. I mean, you can't leave it at the office. That's what I'm saying. You can't leave it at the office and go home. It's with you constantly, and that is a burden. And yet now, today, I think that I have the greatest job on the planet. Talked about this a couple days ago when I read those letters. I'm going to print a lot more of them. I could read you letters every show for the next 6 months, literally. But I'm not going to do that. It'd become burdensome. But the fact is, God has changed my heart. I feel like I'm the horse running for the stall that's in the last miles. You know, the horse always picks up the pace when he knows he's getting close to home. I feel, and I want to pass this on to you, that we are close to home. We are all close to home. If you quit now, it will be the disaster of the eon. Don't quit now, please. Hang in, hang tough. All the people who aren't in it, they're falling away. The people who are not qualified, they're being made manifest and they're falling away. Don't fall away. Stay with the truth. Read books. Read the Concordant Commentary. Go to conferences. Listen to the show. Listen to Dan Sheridan's show. Get Clyde's newsletter, the Bible Student's Notebook. Go to James Flanders' site. You can't give up now. It would be a tremendous disaster. Don't do it. We were in Hebrews talking about the celestial calling, and where were we? We were in 3. Yeah, I told you how convoluted, how just hard to understand that chapter 3 was, the first 7 verses. But we find out that we have that Israel has a celestial calling, celestial in nature, not celestial in location. It's the difference between the locative case, speaking of location, of the adjective there, and the dative case, which is describing it. It's the nature of the thing, talking about little nuances and fine points of language. I left you in Luke 17, and I want to tie up loose ends here. In verse 20, now being inquired of by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God is coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with scrutiny. Now, unfortunately, the King James here says not coming with observation. That makes people think that you won't see the kingdom. See, they say, well, look at this. The kingdom is not coming with observation. Well, that's not what he said here. If it was the word observation, then we would be looking at the Greek word blepo, which has been translated look many times and observation many times. That's the word blepo. The English elements are cast view. To look, to see. If the kingdom of God was not coming with observation, we might make the case that, well, it must be an inward thing, must be something that people live out, and it's not going to be a political reality headquartered in Jerusalem, but it is, because God didn't say that. The word blepo's not here. The word blepo's not here. What is here is the Greek word paratiresis. It's beside keeping. It was only used one time in the scriptures, and it was right here in Luke 17:20. The kingdom of God is not coming with scrutiny. That's what the word paratiresis means, scrutiny. The Greek elements are beside keeping. That is, like you keep yourself beside a pot to make sure it's not going to boil over. You scrutinize it. You watch it. Here's the point. Jesus was saying the kingdom of God is not coming with scrutiny. In other words, you're not going to have to analyze it, look under a microscope to see it, because it's going to be everywhere. Look at verse 24. For even as the lightning flashing out from here under heaven to there under heaven is shining, thus will be the Son of Mankind in his day. It's going to be with lightning flashes and great signs and wonders, and every eye is going to see him. Every eye is going to behold him. It's going to be amazing. So that's why Jesus said it's not coming with scrutiny. And the Pharisees, see, the Pharisees wanted it to come with scrutiny because they wanted to be the experts on it. They wanted to be the only ones who were able to detect it. Just like the Catholic Church. We know the truth. We're going to say the Mass in Latin so that you won't know what the hell we're talking about, and then you'll have to come to us for the truth. Just like that crazy priest in my Catholic Church, Father Oliver. He wanted everyone looking at him. He actually instructed us to put your hymnals, put your missiles down. That's what they were called, missiles. I thought a missile was something you shot off at Cape Canaveral, but no, it's apparently a missile is a little Catholic book with the program. He put it down, look at him, because he wanted you to come to him for the information. So the Pharisees wanted to be able to scrutinize it, to have to be able to scrutinize it. That way, they could be expert on when the kingdom was coming, and they could tell the rabble when it was coming. But no, Jesus said, sorry, it's not coming with scrutiny. So all your care, all your carefulness is going to be irrelevant, because the kingdom is coming with lightning, with thunder, with great observation, with great signs. So it is coming with observation. It's not coming with scrutiny. It is coming with blepo. It's not coming with paratiresis. Did you get that? Oh, I want to correct myself from yesterday. You know, I said that the kingdom comes from without, you know, and not from within. Yet Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. What I mean is it's not going to be generated originally from within you. It has to come from God. That's the whole meaning of the celestial calling here in Hebrews 3. It's celestial in nature. It comes from above, comes from God's throne to Israel, because they couldn't produce it within themselves without the overwhelming power of God to give them a new heart. So it comes from without to within, but then once God puts it within, then it's within you. Then it truly is within you. It's a God-given thing. It's a warm heart. It's a pliable heart. It's a heart of flesh, not of stone. That comes from God. So in that sense, the kingdom is within you. Now, I'm going to go to the concordant commentary of the New Testament by A.E. Nock, commenting now on verse 20 of Luke 17, that the coming of the kingdom of God will be a visible, observable event, the scriptures amply testify. Thank you, A.E. Nock. Did you get that? That the coming of the kingdom of God will be a visible, observable event, the scriptures amply testify. It will come like a lightning flash. Reference again, there is verse 24 of Luke 17. Accompanied by signs and portents in heaven as well as on earth, but it will not be a small local occurrence known only to those who are watching closely. That's what the Pharisees wanted. They wanted it to be a small local occurrence to them because they were watching closely, and then they could lord it over other people. This is the force of the word usually rendered observation. He's talking about the Greek word paratiresis. It's usually rendered observation. Naturally, the King James mixes it up with blepo. It denotes scrutiny, and that's what the Concordant Version translates it. The kingdom of God is not coming with scrutiny, a careful inspection, lest something elude observation. Thus, they watched the gates of Damascus day and night in order to apprehend Saul of Tarsus. This suggests quite the opposite thought, that it comes with such apparent and public observation that careful scrutiny is useless. You hear that? The kingdom of the heavens, the kingdom of God, the 1,000-year kingdom on earth, comes with such apparent and public observation that careful scrutiny is useless. Now, this is Knox's comment on 21, verse 21 of Luke 17. I'll close with this. It will not be confined, that is the kingdom, it will not be confined to any locality, but will instantly cover the whole earth. Hence, it would be useless to investigate or follow up any report that the kingdom is here or it's there. That's what Jesus says, right? Anybody that tells you the kingdom is here, the kingdom is there, don't listen to them, because the kingdom doesn't come with scrutiny. In other words, it's stupid to say, well, the kingdom's here, the kingdom's there, because it's going to be everywhere. The knowledge of God is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Moreover, unlike other kingdoms which fail for lack of an inward response to outward regulations, the kingdom of God will be founded on a moral force within men's hearts that, this is my comment, will be given to them, will be actively given to them by an act of God. This does not deny an outward polity. But the point for the Pharisees, talked to you about this yesterday, to whom Jesus was speaking, is that like Nicodemus, they needed an inward renewal rather than a keen and curious scrutiny of local occurrences in order to enter the kingdom. I just love how the kingdom is coming with great might and power, and those who think they're going to be special and try to see it where no one else can, they're going to be sorely disappointed. In the meantime, we are not waiting for the earthly kingdom. We are awaiting a Savior out of heaven who is going to instantly, in a moment, Greek word atomos, he is going to change our bodies and take us to be where he is, and we will be forever with the Lord. I'm looking forward to that along with you.